And thank you, Joan, and the handbell choir. What a wonderful, wonderful way to start out our worship. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's the one day of the year we don't start with the usual good morning. It's kind of nice to have a break from that tradition. And my name is Brian Coppinger. It's my pleasure to welcome you this morning to worship at Redeemer, and I hope that already there's just been a grace and a joy that's come over you already this morning, and we hope to continue that as we head into worship today. I tried to dress up like a Christmas tree. I hope I got fairly close, but I in no way rival the beauty of the poinsettias that are here in front. Just a couple quick announcements. Number one, if you're on Facebook, and I hope that you are, that you would just visit Redeemer as a Facebook participant. Be generous with any likes or loves or communications of any sort, and that will also give you the opportunity to stay connected with upcoming events and anything that we have going forward that we would like you to know about or be a part of. That's a great way to, again, stay connected. And also, as the calendar year approaches, the year end approaches, it's always a good time to take a look at our finances, and whether we are rivaling a oil-producing country in the mass of wealth that we have, or whether we're at the other extreme is not really important. But what is important is our individual contributions, and we ought to be in prayer, especially during this final week, to see if there's a way for us to contribute one last time to this calendar year, and open up the opportunities for us to do all that the Lord would have us do. So I hope you'll join me in prayer concerning that. Okay? And at this point, if you would just join me in prayer, let's open up this worship service to our Heavenly Father. By the grace you have shown us, Lord, our reasonable response is to love you with all our heart, our minds, our soul, and our strength. But on this morning, our focus is more sharply defined. For unto us a child was born, and unto us a son was given. By his name, you have provided all that we need to secure our place in eternity with you, and to meet our temporal challenges your blessed Son has provided for us. And it is in his name, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, that all of this is possible. As we celebrate and worship this glorious event, stir our hearts with praise, clothe us in humility, and may our meditations be worthy and pleasing to you. Guide Pastor Forrest in wisdom and power as your word goes out, and may we receive it as you intend, filling us in spiritual richness. By the power of your Spirit and in the boundless name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Redeemer family. Please stand as we sing Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Good Christian men rejoice, heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ was born today, ox and lamb before him now, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today, Christ is born today. Christian friends rejoice with heart and voice. Now you hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door.
Advent is the season of reflective preparation for the celebration of the first coming of Christ at Christmas and the expectant return of Christ at his second coming. It's a tradition that began in early century Europe and has been widely practiced by believers around the world to this day. The fifth candle, sometimes known as the Christ candle and placed in the middle of the four candles, is white in color and represents the purity of Christ, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, the Savior of the world.
I'll be reading today from the New Living Translation. Would you please rise for God's Word? Be from John 1, 1 and 14 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. 14 through 18. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of Father's one and only Son. John, who was known as the Baptist, testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about," when he said, "Something is coming after me who is far greater than I, for he existed long before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law is given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." You may be seated.
The next song we're going to sing, you're all familiar with, Jesus Messiah, except there have been Christmas words put to it for the verses, so don't let the verses throw you. It's the same tune and everything. Okay.
He came as a child who knew no sin. God's Son was sent down. All for love, he humbled himself, the light of the world. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus was a gift, the price for sin, a gift sent from God, all for love. The angels sang, God's peace on earth. Love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah. Sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, all our hope lives in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Good morning. You got me? There you go. Sorry. It was already on and I turned it off. I just like messing with Brent. It's fun. Well, good morning. It's good to see each of you here this morning. And if you are visiting with us for the first time, welcome. It is a pleasure to have you with us today. If you are watching us or connecting with us online, Boker Tov. All right, good. So it's just wonderful to be with you here this morning on Christmas Day. And cold outside, it's warm in here. So we've just got a lot of wonderful things are going on here this morning. A lot of wonderful things are going on here at Redeemer. And I want to tell you a little bit of an extended story about one of those things. Terry will tell you I have a tendency to want to do facility walks several times during the week. And usually what I'm doing is I'm going out into our educational wing and just checking to see if there's any leaks, see if the building's been broken into or something like that. So I usually kind of just check out the facility. But one of the things that I couldn't help but notice as I walk around is, you know what, this building was really designed to have a church with a school on it. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you walk through the educational wing, it was originally built as a school. And so in a lot of my facility walks, you know, the air conditioning is left on or something's going on, a light is left on, and I'm like, we have this huge section here and we're just not using it. And so I've been praying for the past several months that the Lord would bring us a tenant, someone who would be interested in renting the facility or leasing the facility. And so I've been praying for that to happen. And relatively recently, we have had someone approach us and have interest in doing just that. And you're going to hear a lot more details about that in the coming weeks and in the coming weeks and month ahead. About that process and how that's all going to look at. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is I want to talk to you about how the way that has been put together is so unbelievable. There's so many different things that have happened to kind of lead up to this point. In a way, if you kind of the way that I'm going to talk about it here, you're going to see that Pastor Forrest, that's kind of unbelievable. Like, the stuff that you're saying is happening and that happened, it's unbelievable. And some of that is going to be accurate. Some of that's going to be true because the process has been unbelievable up to this point. But it highlights something that I really want to talk to us about today, and is as circumstances and as situations go together and they have a legendary aspect to them, as circumstances, as actions, as people's reactions and people involved, as those kind of unfold, and there's that sense that this is a legendary time, what ends up happening is as it becomes more legendary, people start to think, oh, it's a legend. As the circumstances unfold, and it seems like this is just too good to be true, and the sense is that it's not true. And there's just a dynamic for us as humans that when we hear something that just seems legendary, we are often led to believe that it's a legend. And this morning, what I really want to talk to you about is the birth of Christ. The circumstances that led up to Jesus' birth are nothing short of legendary. That we're going to look at some details, some of you have heard many times, some of you might have not noticed or not heard before, but you're going to see that the Lord kind of orchestrated this system, this situation in such a way that people now in the year 2022, they look back and they say, there's no way. That's a legend. And so the question that I want to pose to you is, how do we know? How do we know that the story of Christ's birth wasn't a legend? How do we know that? How do we know that the unbelievable characteristics of this story, how do we know that that isn't a legend? I mean, think about it for a second. Mary was a young woman. And an angel came to her and said, hey, you're going to have a kid. And you're a virgin. And that's kind of unbelievable, right? That's kind of an unbelievable way to start the story. And then the angel kept going and said, oh, by the way, the baby that you're carrying is the Messiah that the Jewish people have been looking for hundreds of years. He's the Messiah and he's going to be God. Like, the whole story seems not believable. It's so legendary. But what we're going to see as we look at the story, the part of the story that we look at today, what you're going to see is that the way the story is told, it's clear this actually happened. Because if someone was coming up with a story, they wouldn't have used the details that they use. If someone was writing a story, if this was a legend, if this was made up, they wouldn't have used these details. And we're going to see that as we unpack it. So this morning we are going to be in our series in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Luke. And we've been, the last couple of weeks, we've been going through the stories that lead up to Christ's birth, which we talked about last night. And this morning what we're going to talk about is in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to talk about the story where the angels come to the shepherds and they announce Christ's birth to them. It's a fascinating story. It's a fascinating story. And some of the things that are going on culturally, I'm going to let you in on. I'm going to share with you here. And you're going to see some things that maybe you've never seen before, or some things you have maybe heard before. But I'm going to put them all together and you're going to come to the end of this story and say, man, this is a legendary story. But it has a sense to it. It has a feel to it. That this is not a legend. This really happened. So Luke chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 8. And I'm going to read for you all the way through until verse 20. And we're going to see a couple of things here. The birth of Jesus was legendary because shepherds were told. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about why that's so important. And then we're going to see that the birth of Jesus was legendary because angels announced it. I'm going to tell you some things about why that makes it the story so legendary. And then we're going to see that the birth of Jesus was legendary because everybody was told at the end of the story. Powerful, powerful story. First off, the birth of Jesus was legendary because shepherds were told. Look with me at verse 8. It says, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. So that night from the previous section is the night when Jesus was born. So this, the day when Jesus is born, that same evening, this is the story is continuing from that same day. So that same night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby Bethlehem, because that's the context of the story. And in this time period, it was very common. Most cities would have a city, and then they would be surrounded by the agriculture that would support the city. So people would work in the fields, harvesting grain or raising cattle or raising the different animals, and they would take them into the city to buy and sell them. And so this is happening in the fields just outside the city of Bethlehem. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, and they were guarding their flocks of sheep. Now, this is an important detail in the story. You're going to find out why here in just a minute. But the role of a shepherd was pretty, they had a lot of different things that they did, but the major thing that they had to do was to guard the sheep. So sheep were pretty defenseless, And so if you had a flock of sheep that you had responsibility for, you had to guard them against predators, the Asiatic lions or wolves, but you also had to guard them from people coming to steal them and take them. And so their responsibility was to guard this flock of sheep. But that meant in the middle of the night, which is when this happens, that meant that the shepherds had to be awake. The shepherds had to be aware of their surroundings. Now, we don't spend a lot of time in the open field in the middle of the night, but you got to understand this is where they were. And so they may have been sitting around a fire, talking, but they're always thinking, they're always listening to the environment around them because they're trying to guard these sheep. So these shepherds are guarding their flocks of sheep, and then suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So the shepherds are just hanging out, and they're paying attention to what's going on, and all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears. And the text says that the radiance of the Lord shone. So we don't know exactly what that was, but somehow it was night, it was dark, and something was obvious that this was an angel. It was either bright light, could have been just like a floodlight dropped on their whole area, or maybe the angel himself was emanating light, we don't know. But they saw the angel, and they're like, whoa, this guy is from God. He's from God because there's something about his countenance. There's a light coming off of him. There's a radiance coming off of him that indicates this guy is from God. And so now if you're the shepherds, you're thinking, you're looking at each other and y'all got sticks in your hand and staffs and clubs and you're like, we got nothing. this is an angel and we've got tools that help us fend off robbers, but they're not going to work against an angel. And so the text tells us they were terrified. Rightfully so. And so it says they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. You know, and the smart aleck shepherd probably say, that's easy for you to say, right? It's easy for you to say, don't be afraid. But we're standing here in the open field. It's the middle of the night. You show up. And I'm sure they were terrified. What's going on? The angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring joy to all people. Now, the first part is great. I bring you good news. Whew, sense of relief. Okay, the angel's bringing good news. That's great. But then he goes on to say, which will be for joy to all people. They had no concept, no ability to understand what that was about at this point in the game. They didn't know. It was a good message. That's great. It was a good message. But then the idea is that the angel tells them, this is going to bring joy to all people. And it's interesting because when we hear around the Christmas season, we think joy to the world. And it is, it's a joy to the world, but it's not just joy because it's the Christmas season. The birth of Christ was intended to bring joy to all people because God was bringing to people the opportunity to enter into an intimate relationship with him. The angel goes out and says, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, imagine if you were here, you're the angels, and you know Bethlehem's just right over there. You're out in the field, and you know Bethlehem's right over there. And the angel tells you, the Savior has been born today in Bethlehem. And so the angels are like, Bethlehem? That's Bethlehem? Bethlehem? This Bethlehem? And the angel is telling them that the Savior, the Messiah that they have been looking for hundreds of years, has been born today in town, right there. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And you will recognize him by this sign. This is how you're going to know who it is. The story is going to get very interesting here. This is how you're going to know who the baby is, because you will find the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. What's so critical about this story that we often miss is that God took this message through the angel to shepherds. Shepherds have no problem with mangers. It's not a thing. Like if the angel had come to a group of accountants that were out in the field and said, "Hey guys, the baby is in Bethlehem and he's in a manger." The accountants are going to be like, "Okay, what's a manger? What do we do with a manger? Where do we find a manger?" But not the shepherds. The shepherds know what a manger is. They know where mangers are at. They're in stall. They're in stables, and they know what mangers are for. So it may have sounded a little weird to them that a baby was in a manger, because that's not typically where a baby would be, but they knew what a manger was. And that is an important detail in this story, is that the story of Jesus is legendary because it was told to shepherds. Shepherds knew where to go into Bethlehem to find a manger. It's a critical, critical detail in this story. Imagine if they decided they wanted to go to Bethlehem, which they do, and they went into Bethlehem and they're like, and they didn't know about the manger. How would they find? Would they go door to door and knock and say, "Hey, is there a baby here? We heard there's a baby born." They wouldn't have any way of knowing that. But when the angel told them there was a manger involved, then they knew where to look. And that's why this story is so wonderfully told. Because God told them where to find the baby in a manger. And being a shepherd, they knew where that was. The story is legendary. There are so many details, and all of the details work together to bring you to the point of understanding that this story is true. There are so many things about our situation of finding this group who is a potential person to start leasing the part of the educational wing from us. It's such a critical the critical aspect of it is God has put the right people in the right place. Throughout the story of the last couple of months, the Lord has been bringing people into this equation that it doesn't totally make sense how the people got in line the way that they did. But the Lord has brought the right people at the right time. Now, I've told you I've been praying for this to happen. A number of months ago, though, I found out that there was a school out there who might need a place to rent. But I didn't know how to get in touch with them or anything. I just heard of the story. So I said, "Okay, Lord, you're going to have to work this out." About a month or so ago, David Larley, who's the rector at St. Bart's, sent me an email. He said, "Hey, there's a school that might be interested in leasing your building. Here's this guy's phone number. Give him a call." Out of the clear blue, I said, "This is great." So I called the guy up and we talked, and we have had just a great connection point from the start. And it's interesting as I look at the situation, I see the way that the Lord has put these people in place. And it's like, wow, the Lord is doing something here. The people that are getting put into these positions, it's so incredible that this is working out the way that it's working out so far. And it's just an incredible thing. And as we look at the story of the shepherds, we see the same dynamic, that the story is coming together and God is putting in place people that are in the right place at the right time. God is orchestrating that situation in that way. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful story that shows us that this birth of Jesus is legendary. And it's legendary because it was told to shepherds. Here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you. I just want you to think for a minute. Think about the role that shepherds have played in the Bible from the beginning to the end. Think about the role that shepherds have played. You know, the first mention of a shepherd was by Abel. Abel is believed to have been a shepherd. But he wasn't the only one. After him, there was Abraham and his son Jacob. And then after him was Moses, And then the big one that a lot of people know about is David. Shepherds are all throughout this story of the Bible. And even as we look into the New Testament, Jesus was said to be the good shepherd. And the leaders of the church, Paul and Peter both, refer to the leaders in the church as shepherds. It's just, it's incredible that all throughout this story is woven through the shepherds. This is a legendary story. And it's a legendary story because shepherds were told. But as the story goes on, it continues to develop. And the story is legendary because angels announced it. Look with me at Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 13. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying. So the shepherds are there with an angel, and now there is a host of angels that join them. Picture this, you're out in this field. There's an angel there, and he just tells you this message that the Messiah is born in Bethlehem. And he finishes up what he's saying, and now the whole field is full of angels. And they're all saying the same thing at the same time. Glory to God in the highest heaven, which is a praise. They're giving praise to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth. We hear that peace on earth all the time this part of the season, and most people think that it's peace on earth between warring people, on warring nations, between nuclear powers, or peace on earth. We want peace on earth. No, it's peace on earth with God. What this baby was bringing was peace on earth with God. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And these angels were announcing this. The angels were announcing this message of peace on earth, peace with God. And what is so legendary about this part of the story is that angels met these shepherds in a field and told them this message from God. And that had to be such a powerful thing for them to hear, a powerful thing for them to experience, meeting with this whole host, this whole array of angels that were telling them this wonderful message. It's a legendary, legendary aspect of the story. And in many ways, the story of how this tenet, this possible tenet has come to us is the circumstances are incredible. They're not explainable by a human understanding. I've told you I've been praying about it, and this past week I met a couple of teachers who told me that they had been praying that there would be a solution coming together. And as we're looking through all those different things, it's just incredible how people who don't even know each other have been praying, and the Lord is moving the circumstances around in a way that shows what he's doing. It's just powerful. It's legendary. You're going to have an opportunity in the coming weeks to hear the stories or hear people tell the stories about how God has been working in this situation, but I'm just telling you because I've been able to see all these things up to this point. I'm telling you the circumstances are really cool to hear how God has been working in this situation. And there's an element in which when you hear and when you see something legendary like that, like the birth of Jesus, there's an element of which this couldn't possibly be true, but it is. And God wanted the shepherds to know for sure that this was the real deal. And so he sent the angels to tell the shepherds this is what was going on. And I want you to imagine if you were in that spot, I want you to feel the compulsion that the angels felt. How would they have been compelled to react to that? They're in this open field. And the angels come and they tell him this message and then the angels leave. and it's dark again, and it's quiet again. Maybe there's a sheep out in the field that's bleeding, and they kind of look at each other, and they're like, let's go to Bethlehem. You know, I mean, they're compelled to do it. It's interesting in the text, the angels never tell the shepherds to go to Bethlehem and check it out. They don't need to. Because the shepherds are listening to the story and they're like, this is amazing. We have to go. We just heard this great message. And that's the sense, is that as we see something that God is doing, we are led to believe that we need to do something about it. And that's what the shepherds are getting. They're getting that compulsion. The Lord is telling them this wonderful thing, and they're like, we got to go see it. And that's what they do. If we keep reading the story in verse 15, it says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And verse 16 says, they hurried to the village. They were excited. They were enthusiastic. They had just received this wonderful message, and now they wanted to run to Bethlehem and see it. And so they did. They hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. Verse 17, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened. Now the shepherds went into town and they looked for Jesus and they saw Jesus and they saw Mary and they said, and the baby is lying in the manger. And they reacted by telling everybody what had happened. The reason we found you guys here in the stable is because the angels told us where to look for you. And we looked for you, and Jesus is right where the angel said he would be. And the enthusiasm that the shepherds had caused them to tell everyone. And that's what makes the birth of Jesus so legendary, is because everyone was told. The shepherds were so enthusiastic, they were so excited about what had happened, that the angels told them this is what to look for. They went and looked for it, and it was just like the angels said it was going to be. And so they wanted to tell everyone the story, and they did. Verse 18 says this, and all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. It is a pretty astonishing tale. But all who heard the story were astonished. You mean like a half an hour you guys were out in the field and you got met by angels? Yes. And the angels told us where to find baby Jesus, and we found him. And the people were like, this is astonishing. This is crazy. This is so hard to believe. And then we see Mary in verse 19. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The reaction of everyone else to Mary is such a contrast, because everybody who heard the story, like, this is amazing, this is astonishing, how could this possibly be? But Mary didn't react that way. She just kept those things in her heart. And here's why. The angel already told her that this is what was going to happen. The angel already told her that her baby was the Messiah. She already knew. She wasn't astonished that the shepherds were coming to her and saying that this was the Messiah. It was like, I already knew that. She knew that. So she just took it all in, because she already knew. But the rest of the people, they didn't hear it yet. They hadn't heard it yet. And they were just astonished that it was going on. And then the verse 20 says, the shepherds went back to their flocks, and they were glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. Everything went just as the angel had told them. And they were convinced that this was a legendary story, because they were a part of it and they knew. So the birth of Jesus is a legendary story. And it's a legendary story because shepherds were told. And if you look at the details of the story, you see that the shepherds played an integral part in everything that was going on. But then you see that this was a legendary story because because the angels proclaimed it. And then we see that the story was a legendary story because everyone was told. The enthusiasm for it was so high. This morning, what I want to challenge you with is I want to challenge you with the idea of the manger is such a powerful part of this story. And we often think about the manger as a piece that we need to have in a children's play so we can have Christmas pageants around the Christmas time. But I hope that you begin to see that the manger played a significant role in the story. And it demonstrates how legendary this story is. The manger is, and this is just my, the Bible doesn't say this, this is just my take on it. I think the manger was probably Joseph's idea. This, again, it's not in the Bible, I don't think that, but I think it was Joseph's idea. Because if you have mom and you have dad, the one of the two that's going to think that a manger is a good place to put a baby is probably not mom. Mom's probably not. I mean, mangers, if you don't know, mangers were like feeding troughs for animals. Like, we don't spend a lot of time with animals. Most of us don't. So we don't think about that. But, you know, every day, all day long, animals are putting their mouths in these feeding troughs and eating stuff out of it. I mean, it's just not a place where you'd like to throw a baby. But I can see Joseph being like, oh, that's a perfect place to put the baby. It's flat. Kind of hold them, keep them from falling out, throw them in there. But it's such an incredible aspect of the story. Because whoever decided to put the baby in the manger, whether it was Mary or Joseph or whoever, put the baby in the manger, they had no way of knowing that the shepherds were out in the fields and the angels were telling them to go into town. They could go into town and they would find a baby in a manger. And of all the people that could be told this message, shepherds were more likely to know what to do with it. The manger is a critical, critical aspect of the story. It's a beautiful, beautiful aspect of the story. There are many things that are communicated by the fact that Jesus came in a manger, but there are many things that are so beautiful about the fact that the story contains a manger, and it was told to the shepherds, that that is where they could find him. So this morning, I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to give you a challenge, something that I want you to do over the next week. And it's an easier challenge than I normally do. I'm going to ask you to tell one person that you believe in the manger, that you believe Jesus was born in the manger. I'm going to challenge you to tell one person in your life that you believe Jesus was born in a manger. And the reason I'm challenging you to do that is because I want you to initiate a conversation with someone about the role that the manger played. And whether you've got some insight, as I've given you some insight into the story that leads up to the manger and how the manger was played out in that and how the manger could have had a dynamic in the story. But the whole point is to challenge you to talk and begin a conversation with the people around you about the birth of Christ. So my challenge to you is this. One person, over the next week, tell them, I believe Jesus was born in the manger. I believe Jesus was born in the manger. And I think it'll be an easy one because it's Christmas. And everybody's already talking about Christmas anyways. Already talking about baby Jesus. Already talking about the manger. So it's not going to be a hard thing for you to do. Over the next week, tell one person, I believe Jesus was born in the manger. And give you an opportunity to begin a discussion with friends, family members about the role that the manger played. And hopefully you can have an opportunity to discuss with people about your faith in the baby who was born in the manger. Many of us understand that the baby who was born in the manger was Jesus, and that baby grew up and lived a perfect life. And at the end of his life, he allowed humans to kill him on a cross. And that death paid the penalty for the sin of anyone who would trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. He offered that to us. And many of us are here this morning, and we have, at some point in our past, at some point in the past, we have gotten to the place in our life where we realized we needed that forgiveness to have an intimate relationship with God. So we entered into a relationship with God through Christ. There are some of you here, probably there are some of you here who have never done that, who have never placed your faith and trust in Christ. And so as you sit here today, you do not have an intimate relationship with God because your sin is in the way. And I just want to let you know that you can have an intimacy with God in a relationship with Christ today. I'll be here after the service. I'll be up front. I'll be more than happy. I'd love to talk to any of you who would like to talk about how you can have an intimate relationship with God through Christ. What we do now is we move into this point into our service. We move now into a time of communion. And this is an opportunity for us to remember. And this is an opportunity for us to remember what Christ did on the cross for us. And his death, how his death achieved our forgiveness. And there is a, if you haven't gotten one of these communion cups, I just invite you to raise your hand and Don will pass one of them out to you. And just want to remind you that there are two parts. There's the part of the bread and then there's the part of the cup. And when Jesus did this, he reminded the disciples that he was with. He said that there's the part that represents the body, and there's the part that represents the blood. The part that represents the body is the bread. And it was to signify to his disciples that that Jesus allowed himself to be crucified. His body was broken, like that bread would be broken, and that his blood was spilt. And through the breaking of his body and the blood that was spilt, he offered to humanity an intimacy with God that they could never have on their own. So we read about this in the book of 1 Corinthians. And Paul says, I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, Lord Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks and said, this bread, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then he concluded with, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.
Please stand for our closing hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Oh.
Well, I think my voice is about done. Like, I made it all the way through the sermon, but it's just about done. So it'll be recharged by next week. So let me close with this. Now, all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week. Merry Christmas.